It's time for the Sunday Papers. Greg Fitzsimmons. Mike Gibbons.
Read all about it. Read all about it. End of the year 2024. Grinding to, is it a halt or are we accelerating into 2025?
That was the lamest read all about it. And you said you're on drugs, and including caffeine.
I took a Ritalin. This is full disclosure. This show is being recorded on December 7th. Because I am currently, as you're listening to this, in South Africa on a 3-week trip with my family. And so these stories are sort of what we call evergreen. They're not, they're kind of are just around.
They're around?
Yeah, they were around.
I'm looking it up. You know, it's often misquoted. The December 7th. What do you think the quote is?
What quote for December 7th?
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, and then Roosevelt has a famous saying about the day.
It was Pearl Harbor.
Yes, but what's the most famous description of it?
A day that will live in infamy.
Right, everyone says day. A date which will live in infamy.
Ha!
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
I know.
No corrections on that one this week.
It's kind of like 9/11. I always say forget, and it's never forget.
Oh, it's 11. I thought it was 12. I was sick on the 11th.
You confuse it because you knew about the attack the day before.
Well, my wife's Jewish, yeah, so I was on the text chain.
Another famous misquote is... I'll be home, I cannot sing, for Christmas, you can.
Count on me.
Everyone says count. It's plan.
Oh, okay.
There's one version, which is not the one you're thinking of, that says count. But I swear to God, like I listen to Sinatra, I listen to every, it's plan. But why didn't they change it on the fly? Count is so much better.
All right, Bruce Springsteen, Blinded by the Light.
Meanwhile, blinded Christmas is over.
Blinded by the light. Next line.
Wrapped up like a douche. Which are tightly wrapped, man.
No. Do you know what it is?
Is it revving like a deuce?
Revved up like a deuce, coupe. It's a type of engine. Yeah.
Yeah. A guy who did not have a driver's license.
That's right.
And that's his first album, I think, when he definitely didn't have a driver's license.
And a guy who never worked in a factory or did any manual labor.
No. Also, was always heterosexual despite all his gay songs about dudes.
Speaking of which, I was driving to the airport with my son.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas, everybody. It just happened 4 days ago, and I hope you...
We're doing a lot of pretending. I'm going to pretend, sadly, very fake sadly, that maybe Dick Van Dyke died.
No, we're going to get to that later. We're going to get to that later. During the obituaries, I pulled up the death pool, and we're going to choose from the top 10 people in the death pool and guess which one will have conked out by the time this thing airs.
Conked out, okay.
But I have a kind of a joke I'm doing about the holidays. Like, the British go on a holiday, which is very different because they choose where to go and who they want to go with. Holiday for us, we go somewhere we don't want to go. To see people we don't want to see, to celebrate something we don't believe in.
Interesting.
That seems cynical for the end of the year?
Yeah, but you know, you made it through the holidays. We're pretending this is the other side of the holidays now. And you know what? You had a pretty good attitude during it.
I did. Well, because I got everything I wanted. Actually, I know exactly what I'm getting because my family all shares an Amazon account. Meaning I pay for everything my kids order on Amazon, and it's sort of this, like, it's time to have a family meeting about this.
Yeah.
So I know everything that's been bought for me because, you know, you can see your orders on Amazon.
I mean, they have to get better than that. Does that mean you're paying for it?
Not only is there no surprise, I'm paying for it.
And that's not a surprise is really the crime. I just thought about, you know, in England, it's American. It's Boxing Day, isn't it? There's a Boxing Day where that's
day
where
after
the
Christmas, right?
Yeah, the help, I guess, got presents, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, but then they would beat the shit out of them. That's why I call it Boxing Day.
Oh, well, I was going to say happy holidays, England. You got two American boxes over there in Ellen and Portia.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah, that's good. Two cunts.
Oh,
you know, well, that's what the British say. It's what the British say. They just a couple of cunts.
All right. We got to get ready for New Year's, man. Let's move this along.
All right. Well, first of all, we're going to next week, just to tease next week's show where we will be back. I don't know what day we're recording it, but
no
I think
idea.
We will be back on the next show after this is December 29th. So the next show that comes up will be January 5th.
Yeah.
Which we'll have to record while I'm in South Africa. I'm going to have to get Wi-Fi in a tent on a safari.
Wow.
And we will go through last year's predictions, and we will make predictions for next year.
We could take the week. When do you get back?
The 7th.
Yeah, maybe. All right, we'll discuss. To be determined.
We'll discuss. To be determined, but it's going to be fun. By now, one of us will have won the Eagles football game bet, and Mike.
By
will
now,
still
that was 3 weeks ago, pal.
It.
I can't believe you put that. That's 3 weeks ago. That's old news.
Oh, actually, we'll. Yeah. All right. Anyway.
Even though the game's tomorrow.
So my son's driving me to the airport, and I have Sirius XM. I bought him Sirius XM for his car, and we're listening to The Bridge, which is mellow rock. From the 70s, 80s,
oh,
and 90s.
Oh, that's the name of the station, yeah. Coffee
and
shop.
The Eagles is on, and it's one of these nights. And he was like, I have never gotten the Eagles. And I grew up in California. He's like,
God bless him.
He's like, I've listened to every Eagles song. He goes, they never say anything. They don't stand for anything. They don't mean anything. And so just as a goof, I put Eagles' greatest hits on my Spotify, and he is absolutely right. There is not a single song of theirs that means anything.
Yeah. I mean, I have a thing about Glenn Frey and the Eagles that I think they were just trying to write hits. I know it sounds like a weird thing to say, but
yeah.
I think they were almost working backwards from, like, could this get a lot of radio play? And I guess, I think a lot of artists do that, don't get me wrong, but maybe not all the time.
I think Chicago is a version of the Eagles where they were actually writing songs that there was some soul to, there was some heart behind, there was, like, passion.
Oh, insane musicianship.
Yes, musicianship and, yeah, I mean, yeah. They had so many fights. You don't realize how many hits Chicago had.
Yeah, they're one of those, like we talked about the other. Oh, I think we're going to count up a band's hits. I forgot.
Oh.
But we'll do that in the new year. We have a lot of time. Can I talk about trying to get rid of my table?
Yeah, what's going on?
We're
going
to make this really brief. You ready?
With us twice. Nobody wants your fucking table.
God, so I have this table and I wasn't trying to free. I put it on free. So when you put something free, I did on Facebook Marketplace, the freaks come out. But I don't know how the world even can function because everyone is so wrong about everything and spacey and they don't know how to get something done. So I had to finally say, this will not fit in an SUV. It's 4 feet across, but it's high. It's like, 18 inches high. It doesn't fit in my SUV, which is a three-row big SUV. So I tell people, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, finally, it's done. And I'm guys going to pick it up today, right after this podcast. And I'm happy, and that's what I told you. I finally found a guy. He has a truck. He's coming. And then this is the text I just get from Antonio, who has the truck. And I go, Does tomorrow work? Afternoon around 3. Should work perfectly. Can you send me the address so I can GPS the distance? I'm like, great. Here's a guy. He even knows how to put in directions. All of a sudden I do it. He goes, oh my God, sorry. Just realized you're in California. Don't know how that popped up in my search. I'm in Vegas. Thanks and happy holidays. Holy shit.
Yeah, no, I have had, you know...
And there have been a million versions of that, but I could not have written that one. Like, he's in another state.
Every single time I try to sell it... First, I try to sell it, and it's just so stupid. Nobody wants to buy anything. I don't know how, like, you know, my sister is the queen of buying stuff on Facebook, and Mary Fitzgerald, like, her house in Boston is filled with, like... interesting antiques, and like, this was built in the Philippines and shipped over, and it's a chandelier, and I'm like, how the fuck do you find this shit? I can't buy anything on there. I don't get it. I end up leaving my shit. I live in Venice, so if you want to get rid of something, you just put it in the alley. It's gone an hour later.
Some woman was, this is the problem though. I'm going to put it out, and then people are going to realize, oh my God, it doesn't fit. Maybe I'll take the glass and leave the frame, and then the frame, like, it's, I just want someone to take it. And then so one woman was like angry. She's like, don't worry about it. I got an SUV. I'm like, I'm worried about it because you're going to come to where I live and it's going to be a whole thing and you're going to involve me. She's like, I think I can handle it. I got a RAV4. I just absolutely blocked her. I didn't even respond. I just blocked her.
This week's logo is, it looks like Nancy and Ron Reagan. Of course, I'm Nancy.
Is that my face?
That's your face. You look very much like Ronald Reagan, my friend.
I look like the guy I hate.
Yep. Ron Reagan.
Wow. Well, you know why? They gave me his very, obviously hair, but they gave me his very strong jawline and face and chin.
Yeah. You have a strong chin, don't you?
I have the weakest chin known to man.
Oh, you do?
It's an extension of my neck. Yeah. So, but you, this reminds me, you're not going to like, you're not going to like hearing this. You do, because you remind me of your mom.
Oh, that's
we haven't even talked about how great your mom was at Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that great seeing her?
Oh, so, which is a lot more recent than it sounds here on December 29th. But yes. It was so great seeing her at Thanksgiving.
And we went to that bar. My daughter's now bartending at this pretty cool little bar. And my mom,
absolutely,
of course, there was what, a dozen of us at least? And my mom is, as always, the last person that will leave. Like, have to beg her to leave the bar. And she's 82 years old.
The best is, of course, we've talked about, but how unbelievably social your family is like that. And also our friends who are last to leave wherever we go. And so I got there a tiny bit late, but it was still evening. And so then when we get there, I'm like, oh my God, this place is really cool. And there's everybody. And I'm like, where's JoJo? And they're like, oh, she's left. I'm like, what? The whole reason we're here, and then like, yeah, and then everyone stayed 3 hours.
Well, because you guys took so long to get there. I think, did you go to the other bar first?
No, but we were at dinner, so we finished
but
at dinner.
But it's a cool bar. Yeah, they've got live music. It was open mic night, and it was very cool because, you know, obviously some people were not great. And it was a little loud, but then this band came on and it was like a Latino married couple.
Oh my God. Or brother, sister. They're kind of like, my joke was like, you know, the confusion of their relationship, like the White Stripes, but I call them the Brown Stripes because they're Mexican.
But she was playing a kazoo while he played guitar.
Yes.
And it just, all of a sudden, like, people were talking over every other band. And then all of a sudden, Hannah, who was there, turned around and she started watching them, which made me turn around and watch them. And I'm thinking in my head, all right, Hannah is like from Nashville. She has music in her bones. And like, she's going to be looking at this like, oh, these fucking, this lame open mic night. She was the one that noticed them. And then, and all of a sudden, the whole bar just stopped talking and started listening and kind of swaying along with the music and getting huge applause breaks, calling for an encore. It was really cool. It was a cool moment.
Well, you've been in this situation a bazillion times when, like, every comedian's like, that's an impossible room. No one's going to win them over. No one. And then all of a sudden, one comic, for whatever reason, gets the whole crowd listening. And you're like, what the hell was it? And this was, it came to a moment where there would be a solo. He's just playing guitar. She's singing. And then all of a sudden, you heard kazoo.
It was so funny. But it was the great. Reason it worked is because she did it so sincerely. There was no hint of irony. Like the White Stripes, there was no hint of irony. It was like very earnest.
Oh, absolutely.
Our speaking of music, our song this week from Ray Maslanka was very cool. Thank you, Ray. By the way, it's a new year. The coffers are empty on the music, and we could definitely use some logos, but especially we need some new songs. Again, the bar is not high. Have fun. Do something creative. Send it in. We love it.
2025, people.
Coming up on our fifth anniversary, 5 years.
Yeah, when is that? We got to figure that out. Does anyone send us the date? We're too lazy to look it up.
Figure out the date. Let us know because we're going to do a special episode for it.
And also, we might put out a hat for our fifth anniversary.
What?
Yeah. Was I supposed to say that?
Yeah, well, that's a good tease.
Happy New Year.
And so send those into fitzdogradio@gmail.com. Also, one correction because this show is a bit later. Tim Kaine said the Victory Tour,
I was wondering when you said that.
Was the
Wouldn't
reunion
it called the Thriller?
It was the reunion of the Jackson 5 in 1984, the year after Thriller. I think I said it was the same year as Thriller.
He must have toured with Thriller, right? I mean, but normal. I would have thought it was more than a year tour for Thriller. He could have toured forever.
Yeah, Thriller is, Beat It is on Thriller. And you know who played lead guitar on Beat It?
Eddie Van Halen.
That's right.
Thriller World Tour, 82 to 83. Mm. It's his first solo tour. What? Supporting his sixth studio album, Thriller. Does that mean it's his first Thriller tour?
Huh.
Anyway, and then the Victory Tour.
Yeah.
Oh, man. He had to take care of them, I guess, huh?
That's what it seemed like. But those tickets were expensive. Tour dates coming up. Janesville, Wisconsin, the Comedy Cabin, January 17th and 18th. Come give me a hug and warm me up. Nyack, New York at Levity Live, January 23rd, 24th. Raleigh Improv, January 25th, 26th. And then Milwaukee, Vegas, Fontana, California, Atlanta, Hamilton, Ontario, Toronto, Pittsburgh, Boston, Tampa, and La Jolla. Go to fitzdog.com for tickets. Also, support comes from Fabric this week.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
It's health insurance, man. It's life insurance.
It's life insurance.
No, it's life insurance, and it's fixed,
it's for
which is
when
you and I love.
Health insurance doesn't work, then your life insurance kicks in.
Exactly. But if you have anyone, like, that's the whole thing, man. All of a sudden, I had kids, and I'm like, I got to get insurance. And what did I do? I got fixed term insurance. So if you have anyone you are responsible for that's relying on you and your income, you should seriously consider having it. It's as simple as that. A term life insurance policy from Fabric can help you give you that peace of mind. You'll sleep better at night.
And also, people think they have it through their job. Guess what? It's garbage. You need your own flexible, high-quality policy that fits your family and your budget. It's like $1 million in coverage for less than a dollar a day. I've never understood how the life insurance business works because it's real. And the younger you do it, the cheaper it gets. So
lock
in
that rate.
God, especially when you're young. I mean, at any time, but especially when you're young. They're trusted by millions of families for over 50 years. 1,900 five-star reviews on Trustpilot. Fabric has more than life insurance. They've got free digital wills, investment accounts, invest your kids' future, and more. Manage it all from your home.
Easy peasy. Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to help protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/papers. That's meetfabric.com/PAPERS. It's meetfabric.com/papers. Policies are issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company. Not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions.
Also, support for Sunday Papers comes from Mint Mobile.
Oh, listen.
Mint Mobile.
5G.
I have so much material about my former company, phone company. And let me tell you something. It was such a relief when I came across Mint Mobile. It's easy to get. It's $15 a month with the purchase of a 3-month plan.
Look at that.
And it's so easy to get. I was like, the most time I spent on the phone was breaking up with my old provider.
Right.
You go to their website, you activate, you can use your own phone, you keep all of your contacts. And again, it's a 3-month plan for $15 a month, unlimited.
5G network.
5G network, the nation's largest 5G network. I mean, what are you losing? What are you losing by coming over here except for stress? So
totally.
To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/papers. That's mintmobile.com/papers. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/papers. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent of $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Nice, Pally. Let's go to that front page.
Woo!
And I got to... Thank you for loading this doc, man.
All right,
why don't you read it?
You read it.
An employee at Gate Gourmet, a catering company, served airlines at Denver International Airport. That company is under investigation by Denver police after an airline passenger said he caught a worker trying to secretly take a picture of him in a bathroom stall.
Ooh.
Sick and gross are how the 24-year-old passenger described the incident. And the guy taking the picture described it as uncircumcised and girthy.
Girthy?
Yeah.
He got a good angle.
So I'm quoting.
Underneath.
That's not me.
Wow.
Yeah. The passenger was flying home after a business trip to Denver and they're not identifying the man as he may be a victim of the crime. He said he was changing clothes and using the toilet in a bathroom stall.
Who changes clothes at the airport? If I saw someone doing something that suspicious, I'd snap a photo also.
Yeah, if you see something, take a picture. Isn't that the saying?
Like, what are you dressing up for the fancier leg of the trip? Like the first leg was Detroit, so you wanted to look kind of working class chic. And now you're going to L.A., you want to look upscale douche. You jump in the bathroom stall, unzip your bag.
Maybe when he goes to Denver, he becomes a lady.
Oh, there we go.
So that's why this creep was taking a picture, too.
Yep, yep.
It was in Concourse A, and when he looked down, he noticed someone reaching under the stall with a cell phone camera taking a picture of him. He yelled and said the man took off. The passenger pursued the man and confronted him, saying he was wearing a lanyard around his neck and identification, and it indicated Gate Gourmet. The passenger said as soon as he apprehended the man, the employee volunteered his phone and told the passenger he could delete the photos. How nice of him.
Nice of him. He's trying to get rid of the evidence.
No, he basically admitted. He's like, yeah, it's right here. Like, why offer your phone to a guy?
Right.
Whose junk you just took a photo of. Listen, you know, layovers are usually boring, but not in Denver. Not in Denver. I think I might change my next layover to be in Denver.
Right, right. Denver's sexy now. Well, wasn't there a famous story like 25, 30 years ago about two guys, and they were coming from a Republican convention, and they were in a stall next
to each
other.
With the little with the signals.
It was a signal with the shoe from the next stall over. Yeah.
And was it a misread signal?
Maybe.
I think it was a misread signal, and a politician was trying to get action in
the
men's room.
That's what it was. Yes, it was a politician.
That's what I think.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's get to an accused shoplifter tried sneaking away with a cart full of items during a holiday shopping event in Virginia involving dozens of law enforcement officials.
I love this.
Police officers and sheriffs gathered at a Walmart supercenter for the annual Shop with a Cop event. but the day took a surprising turn as approximately 50 law enforcement officers were spread throughout the store. A 32-year-old man was caught on video surveillance trying to leave the store with nearly $1,400 worth of merchandise. The man went through a door that led to a fenced-in area where officers detained him. I mean, what can you say? Guy likes a challenge. In his mind, this was the Ocean 11 of mall theft. They didn't catch the 10 accomplices.
No.
Who were clearly playing a prank on their dim-witted friend.
The guy's like, dudes, what do you, look at the sign. It says, what, did you change the sign? That said shoplift with a cop. Is that, did you change it? The guy, can you imagine him though, really? Like he walks out, they said it was all by the garden center. He's walking out with his full cart of stuff he intends to steal. He walks into like 45 police officers. Okay, wrong exit. But he then doesn't leave the cart and walk out. He still tries to get out of a Walmart that has 40 cops in it.
Yeah, that's commitment. I mean, that's a guy that needed that 14. They didn't say what the items were, but they must have been integral to this guy's survival. If there was that much commitment.
Yeah, I know.
You know.
Probably like, just bows and arrows. Remember that? Walmart's still selling them. Right, there was an incident a couple of weeks ago.
All right,
Washington, D.C.'s attorney general has sued Amazon. The lawsuit from AG Brian Schwab alleges that since 2022, Amazon has secretly excluded two historically underserved DC zip codes from its expedited delivery service while charging Prime members living there the full subscription price. Amazon's charging tens of thousands of hardworking Ward 7 and 8 residents for an expedited delivery service it promises but does not provide. And while Amazon has every right to make operational changes, it cannot covertly decide that a dollar in one zip code is worth less than a dollar in another. So it was a bad neighborhood, is what I read about this story also.
Yeah, I guess ward 7 and 8. Anytime you live in a ward,
it's not great.
It's not good.
It's not ideal.
And Amazon said, "Well, look, the only thing prime in those neighborhoods are suspects. So, what do you want us to do? I mean, do people really need rolling papers, mouse traps and oodles of noodles overnight? That can't wait."
Amazon pivoted, though, right away. Now they have a late-at-night delivery. A van just tears down the street and throws the shit out the window.
Yeah.
Same. I mean, it's not same day. It's same late-at-night delivery.
I mean, when you think about an Amazon truck, they basically just park and leave the truck unattended while they go make a delivery. I mean, that's, you don't want to do that in Ward 7. Definitely not Ward 8.
Who would steal it, though? Probably the Walmart guy we already talked about, because they watch every single rotation of the tire is monitored on an Amazon van. I know because my brother didn't last at all on that job.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, you roll through stop signs. He's like, well, I kind of stopped. They're like, no, here it is. If you want the data, you didn't stop at one.
Vivek Ramaswamy. Is that how you say his name?
That's how you say
Vivek
it.
Vivek Ramaswamy told Axios' Mike Allen at the Aspen Security Forum that he's hopeful that slashing the federal workforce could be, quote, good for many of the individuals who make a transition from government service back to the private sector.
Oh, HR speak, yeah.
As co-chair alongside Elon Musk of the newly created Department of Government Efficiency, Ramaswamy hopes to dramatically reduce federal government headcount. He said the reduction is not really about cost savings, but addressing what he sees as an overgrown federal government that is doing things that were never supposed to be done by the federal government in the first place. Yeah. I don't believe that the highest and best use of any of those talented people is what they're doing in the federal government today. And really, nobody knows what's best for the hardworking man, the working class man, like a guy who grew up rich, went to Harvard and Yale on his parents' dime, and gets feedback from Trump and Elon Musk, who was also raised rich.
Yeah. If I've learned anything from New York this week, this guy has better beef up his security. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
You're going to cut. I mean, they tend to really cut the government way down.
Yeah, but they're doing them a favor. They're talented. Cut to a guy 6 months from now selling meth and driving an Escalade. Found my talent. Thank you, guys.
Did you see, I forgot who, but some economist said the numbers that they were saying that they're going to, I forget what it was, cut out of the, with this division, that they're going to cut out of the government.
They said $2 trillion.
And they're like, if you fired every single government employee, every single one, you still don't get near that number.
Well, not to mention, you're not going to touch the military, because that's Trump's claim to fame, is beefing up America's strength. So that's, you know, 20%. That's 20% of the budget right there. And then you've got he said he's not going to touch Medicare and Social Security. That's 40% of the budget.
You're going on what he says.
And then you've got all these congressmen and senators who have pet projects in their district that literally are the reasons they get reelected, whether or not it's a BB factory in Des Moines, Iowa. Like, you can't cut that. They're not going to let you cut that. I would be shocked if they cut more than 10% out of the budget.
I can't wait till it happened to the left. When you divide the left, when you divide a party, there are going to be so many people who are going to be forced not to back some of Trump's decisions, because they will not be elected again.
Right. Right.
It's going to decimate their hometowns and home states.
All right, let's cut down to entertainment.
You got it, pal. Here we go. All right, what's the first story here?
Taylor Swift's Era Tour book is only available from one retailer, Target. But that isn't keeping it from having a more than blockbuster bow. Taylor Swift, the Eras book, sold 814,000 copies in 2 days.
Yep.
That's the highest amount.
It's like Dear Miss Fitzsimmons.
That's right. That's the second highest amount of books sold in a single reporting week since they started tracking it in 2001. The only nonfiction book to have surpassed that debut figure is Barack Obama's A Promised Land, which sold just 2,000 more copies.
Wow.
And and actually they're saying the last book her fans read was The Complete Calvin and Hobbes.
Oh, and we know how great that is.
Yep.
Funny thing is, Taylor's book is on Audible, and you get it, and it's just 4,000 12-year-old girls screaming at the top of their lungs. And you listen to it, and you can also just see the pictures in the book. So it's the real experience.
So half the copies are going to pedophiles, you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, we just got kicked off the algorithm.
There you go. We did it. Too late. What are we at?
You want to read the Bill Maher?
Bill Maher isn't ready for another MAGA presidency. On Sunday, the Real Time with Bill Maher host reflected on the future of his HBO talk show. I may quit because I don't want to do another. I did Trump. I did all the Trump stuff before anybody. I called him a con man before anybody. I did. He's a mafia boss. I was the one who said he wasn't going to concede the election. I've done it. The show is politics. There's no other thing. And he's going to dominate the news like he always does. I mean, he loves saying he's the first at a lot of things, yeah. Bill Maher.
Yeah. And he's
no one else is calling him a con man.
So bold, and so bold to step aside just do his $1 million a year podcast. So brave. Meanwhile, like, school teachers who are about to have their budgets gutted and have all the financial support stripped away, they got to dig in and make it work. But Bill Maher can't do a 15-minute monologue anymore.
The other thing is, like, and he'll say, like, oh, you know, he got fired after 9/11 because he called, you know, the way they fight, that it's more cowardly if you're, like, lofting in bombs and all that than actually suicide bombers. Well, everyone was saying that, but people who had jobs where Nabisco's the sponsor and all that weren't saying it on air because you get fired. But he did. So he does deserve credit for that. But, like, that he came up, that big brain of his came up with that angle is just horseshit.
Well, I'll say this. Elon Musk's new program of cutting down jobs is going very well so far.
You like that we're not going to have a real time anymore?
Now, I tune in.
Pastime?
I mean, that was my first writing job. I wrote for Bill Maher back when it was politically incorrect. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for him, and I do think he's very funny. But I can't watch it. I feel like sometimes he gets a little too enamored with his own facial expressions of scowling at the audience. And it's just on a personal level, I don't enjoy watching it that much.
The best is hearing comedians talk about how like surprised he is, and he's laughing and can't get through, as if he didn't pick the joke that week, rehearse it an hour or two before, and now he's doing it again.
Well, that's also the thing, is like people are constantly quoting Stephen Colbert or quoting Jimmy Fallon. It's like literally 99% of the jokes coming out of their mouths were written by somebody on their staffs. And it's just so funny that they, you know, even the opinions are written by the staff a lot of times.
Oh, no, all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, you mean, I thought you meant like Bill Maher's, he kind of does an op-ed, like opinion.
Yeah.
Yes, they craft that all week.
Right.
All right, the Dead and Company are headed back to the Sphere. Did you see them?
I saw them at the Sphere.
When?
Dan Brickner gave me his tickets about 9 months ago, and they were amazing seats. Shout out to Dan Brickner and Caroline. I don't love Vegas. I try to avoid it as much as possible, and I definitely didn't think of the Dead as being a very organic place for them to perform. Mm-hmm. But that Sphere is the beacon of technology. It is every piece of audiovisual state-of-the-art technology available, and it's in one place. And the Dead is such a visual band that it was incredible. It was literally, it was like being on mushrooms, which we were, but like if we weren't, it would have still felt like we were on mushrooms.
Well, the 18 show run kicks off March 20th, and it's going to wrap up May 17th. So a little before the heat, because I'm wondering if more old white guys would die in Vegas than in Sturgis. And I might keep an eye on that as it approaches.
Right. It's also like, and the casinos love the Deadheads, because it's like anyone living in a van with no health insurance, trying to buy tickets with a vegan ketamine brownie, that's the kind of risk taker they want at the tables.
Yeah.
I need a miracle.
Exactly. All right, let's make America Florida. Florida man was half naked, high on meth, and he broke into a home and grabbed carpet cleaner. I love the headline. According to Winter Haven police, residents inside a home at the 6th Street Southwest, whatever, were suddenly awakened on Thursday at about 1:36 a.m. to a loud bang at the front door. They discovered Smith in the living room wearing only a shirt but without pants or shoes.
That's the uniform. While holding
in his hand a carpet cleaner belonging to the residents. One of them yelled at Smith, who then dropped the carpet cleaner and ran out the door. Minutes later, police located the person matching Smith's description. I can't believe they can narrow it down. There must have been 6 people without pants or shoes. How did they know it was him? And then here's the perfect Florida defense. He told the officers he did not recall what he was doing because he was high on meth.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I mean, is an actual legit excuse. When I was in college, I went into the women's bathroom and women were showering and I was just walking around. Just talking.
Oh, no.
And I got called down to the dean of students, the dean of housing's office, and I said I was drunk. I was just drunk. And I would have been kicked out of the dorms, except that drunk is like an excuse. You're better off saying you were fucked up when you get committed of a crime.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm a predator. It's mental illness. Sorry.
I enjoy seeing women naked. So that's my defense. Where else am I going to see them?
What do you mean, why'd I do it? It's, you just read it. They were showering. Like, what is your, what? If, not, why is there guesswork here?
It's not like they were taking a shit. They were perfectly clean.
Except the one on the end. I think she might have been taking a shit. I don't know what she was doing over there.
All right, luckily, let's make a picture of it.
Let's make Kentucky, Florida. A Lincoln County man is accused of starving a goat to death.
Aww.
That was the headline. 37-year-old Sean Rector was arrested after fleeing from a domestic scene. While they were searching for Rector, authorities found drug paraphernalia and 1 gram of meth inside a nearby garage. And then in a separate building, they found the starved goat. So, no offense, but is that even a crime in Kentucky?
Yeah.
Like, not feeding your goat enough? Doesn't Kentucky have bigger fish to fry? Also, I don't think this was intentional. Again, the defense is he was on meth, and the goat was probably a source for this guy of milk and sex.
That's right. Well, once you start milking a goat, one thing leads to another. You don't plan it.
No.
You're down there, you're pulling on stuff, something ends up in your hand.
It's like when a hand accidentally grazes you in bed and you didn't know you were in the mood, but now you're in the mood.
Yeah. I mean, and goats will eat anything. They're famous for that.
Yeah. They're going to eat his can.
Yeah.
They like eating cans. Meth heads, asses.
Would we even have this segment if it wasn't for, we should do ads for methamphetamine for these two segments.
Sponsored by, yes. Well, that could be Adderall or Ritalin. It's in there.
Yep.
Where are we going? We're going to this day in history?
Well, let's do international real quick. We got time.
There you go. All right, what do you got, pal?
A recent incident on a bus in Brazil went viral, proving that even the most ordinary bodily functions can lead to extraordinary chaos. The casual bus ride in Belém quickly spiraled into an uproar when a passenger's flatulence allegedly ignited widespread commotion. Oh, and you got to think how bad it would be to stand out in Brazil. Video footage captured shocked riders quickly streaming out of the vehicle, triggering a mass exit. Sounded like there was a mass exit out of this guy's asshole. What a bomb that was, guys, one said, while another quick, damn, it was a fart or a landslide, LOL.
Yeah, they're funny. What a bomb that was, guys. Fart or a landslide.
I
doubt it was that solid.
I was on a plane one time with my family going to New York, and there was a guy who started farting in the row ahead of me, and it was noxious. It was like, I mean, you've got your different elements of a fart. You've got your sulfur, you've got your poop, you've got, anyway, this guy had all of them, and then a secret ingredient that I couldn't even name, and I was literally gnawed, like water was rushing in my mouth, I was about to vomit, and every, like, 15 minutes, another wave would come over. And I yelled out loud enough for almost everyone on the plane to say, stop farting. It's disgusting. Don't let me find out who it is. And that was the last fart for the rest of the trip. And my son was convulsing. He was doubled over laughing.
I just flew back from Florida. And people just fart on planes knowing they're not going to get caught.
Yeah.
And it might be the person. So it was such a bad smell all of a sudden, but it was this young woman in her 20s. I think she was a student. You could see her on a laptop. And then I'm like, all right, I'd like to signal that this wasn't me because it was bad. And I thought, well, I could reach up and act like frustrated and reach up and adjust the fan. But doesn't that look guilty also? Like maybe I'm adjusting the fan because the smell is sitting in my lap.
Right, right.
But did I tell you, Olivia loves this story. It's one of Olivia's favorite recent stories. I'm on a plane with Olivia coming back, and it was terrible. Actually, we were on a flight. It wasn't just recently. We were coming back from Spain almost a year ago, actually. And there were like six seats in the middle. I mean, it's a big plane. And it was the worst smell. It was so bad. And I kept, and Olivia's like, pulls her sweatshirt up, and she's like, I know. And we're both struggling like crazy. And I'm like, what the? And it kept happening. And so she reminds me that I said at one point, I go, honestly, this person should kill themselves. And Olivia is howling. It was Olivia.
No.
Yes.
She told you what once you got home?
She told me when we ran into everybody else, she couldn't stop laughing. And I thought she was laughing because I said the person, and I was pretty sure I knew who it was. I was pinning it on the guy across the aisle from her because I could tell it was coming from that area, which was across my disgusting daughter's lap. And it was her.
Oh, that's fucking great. Who would
but
expect?
But I had already gotten so angry, and she missed her opportunity to admit it. And then she thought she would do it because now it was so funny in front of the family.
No, when you smell something that toxic, you just assume it's got to be an older person whose colon has just been through the ringer, you know?
I don't know what was going on. And I do think she maybe should have killed herself if it could be temporary. Like if it could just be for a day or two.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, first of all, I'm careful what I eat the night before I fly. I really am. I'm conscious not to eat dairy. And if I do have to fart, I walk back to the bathroom and I kind of crop dust it around. So I'm not like lingering it in one area. I spread it out. And
down
then
the aisle or in the bathroom?
Down the aisle.
Oh, boy.
In the bathroom's rude because that's where all the flight attendants congregate. And so.
Right. No, right. Well, you would never do something rude in the bathroom. Ever.
And then I will pinch it. I will clench my cheeks and hold it in until the rest of the flight. So we got to New York one time, and me and Owen went to the bathroom, and we're standing at a row of urinals peeing, and I let out like a solid 16-second long fart, like deep, rumbling. And again, like he had tears coming down his face. He thought it was the funny. He was probably only about 8 years old. He thought it was the funniest thing he'd ever seen. But that's where you do it. That's what a gentleman does. A bathroom is a place you fart.
Yes, if only you just farted in airplane bathrooms. Yeah. Moving on to all this right. Day in history. All right. Okay, Gregorian. Texas was annexed on this day. Mm. In what year? Give or take 30 years.
1830.
Oh man, you did it. 1845.
Nice.
And here I got an offer. Mexico, take it back. Take Texas back. Yes, we don't want them. They don't want it. They call themselves the Lone Star. God bless.
Wow.
Go ahead, be your own star.
El Mothership.
American actress Mary Tyler Moore was born on this day in what year, give or take 4 years?
1942.
Wrong, sir. 1936.
Ooh, she's old.
Well, also dead. Let's see when.
That's old.
Yeah.
That's the exactly. Oldest you can actually be, is dead.
I know. Well, here we go. Let's see if you remember what year this was. Saddam Hussein was executed after being convicted of crimes against humanity, give or take 3 years. When was Saddam Hussein, the former president of Iraq, killed?
96.
Oh, come on, man. Why were we in Iraq?
For weapons of mass destruction, yellow plutonium.
Right? And why were we looking for weapons of mass destruction?
Because some fucking flimsy informant from Africa said that it was there.
Do you think 9/11 might have happened?
Oh. All right, let me guess again. 2000. I was thinking of the first war in Iraq, which was in 91. That's why I was thinking of that.
Daddy Bush.
Yeah, that was Daddy Bush. No, all right, so I'm going to say 2005.
2006, but it doesn't count. Mm. Okay. American basketball player LeBron James was born on this day in what year, give or take 2 years? I'm giving you a five-year window.
Well, he's currently, I'm going to say 37. So he was born 37 years ago, which would have been 78. I'm going to say 1978.
Wait, what is your math?
Oh, what am I saying? No, 1998.
No, you're not saying that either. He was born in 1984. He's 40, or will be 40. I don't know when his birthday is. Well, we do know.
Well, if I could do math, I would have got it right, because I guessed he was 37.
He just turned 41.
No.
Wait, yeah.
Damn.
That's crazy. I mean, we're the stupidest people ever,
like,
but I just found this.
Even now, if you told me 41, I can't subtract 41 from 2024, because the millennium, it just throws me off once I hit the 2000. Like, all the numbers just jumble in my head.
Sorry, I forgot we're doing this December 30th. He just turned 40 today.
All right, said he was 37.
Tomorrow, I guess it's tomorrow. I had to stretch the week to find better stories. So LeBron James turns, you know, again, we're recording this in early December. Sorry about that. He just turned 40 on December 30th.
All right, happy birthday, LeBron.
There it is. We can try to find one more here. Well, Tiger Woods' birthday. We're not going to do math. I guess this whole segment is math. But let's try to find an event here, shall we?
Yeah.
We're going to say, yeah, tallest building, Boris Yeltsin, Soviet Union. Yeltsin, you're right, it's Yeltsin. What did I say, Yeltsin?
You said Yeltsin twice.
I like that better. Roberto Clemente, now I like, you're not going to get that though. We're going to one more, Battle of Quebec. You would never get Battle of Quebec. Oprah Winfrey, this is taking a little while, but I don't, okay, fine. American country and Western musician Hank Williams Sr. He died on this day in what year, give or take 10 years?
1928.
No, come on. He has a son, Hank Jr. That should include you in a little bit.
48?
1953.
Oh. Okay.
And guess how old he was?
Hank Williams Sr. was 78 years old when he died.
So close. He was 29 years old.
I know
In
so little about country music. It's ridiculous.
And he is like, I mean, he's the North Star of the whole thing, man. And
wait, he was 29, did you say?
Yeah, we talked about Eagles the other day, the other podcast, and the Eagles Road, I think Seven Bridges Road, about him dying. He died in the back seat of a Cadillac being driven to a gig because his flight missed his flight, I think. But he was drinking a lot.
So he was almost part of the 28 Club.
I know.
Wow. Crazy.
Yep. All righty, sir.
Let's
that
cheer up.
That wraps up that. Let's cheer up. Here we
all
go.
All right, so we talked.
And that's all, folks.
Earlier about, we don't know who's going to die this week, obviously.
So wait, did you say let's cheer up? Aren't we doing the obituary?
Oh, right. We're not cheering up yet. Let's go down. Let's sadden it up a little bit.
Let's go down. We're going to do it. Here we go. Oh, bets. All right.
All right, so I'm going to read the top 10 people very quickly. We're not going to dwell on this. I'll read the top 10 people in the celebrity death pool as listed on Ranker website.
Christmas can have surprises. Remember poor George Michael died on Christmas Day?
I know. Yeah, that was a real wham. Oh. Jimmy Carter is ranked number one. Oh. June Spencer, I don't know who she is number two.
Is that
Jimmy
from,
Swaggart is number three. Well, he's got God pulling for him. Alan Greenspan is already 98 years old.
Oh, boy.
Rupert Murdoch is 93. Here's crossing our fingers.
Oh, fingers crossed.
James Dobson is 88. Jim Baker. There's a lot of scumbags could die soon.
Yeah.
Yoko Ono is at number eight. She's 91 years old. Willie Mays. Let's hope it's not Willie Mays. Is number nine.
Wait a minute.
And number
10. No, dude. Willie Mays died. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. We did his obituary. Unless, wow, were we that
wrong?
I know,
wrong.
I know we're loose
18th.
With the facts.
Oh, this must be a, why would websites show you an old?
Willie Mays died June 18th.
All right, hold on. All right, let's just leave him out and assume the other guys are all
maybe
alive.
Maybe Yoko's
still.
Gone. Who knows?
All right, I'm going to pick as my death pool by December 29th, I'm going to say that Jimmy Carter is going to be gone, sadly.
That's a pretty easy one. He's quite vivacious and still with it and has a very young wife, but Dick Van Dyke is very far up there. So sadly, I think we're doing the obituary right now for Dick Van Dyke.
Okay.
We're not going to do it, but that's the name.
Well, let's truly cheer up now.
Let's cheer up. Here we go.
All right. We do not have a comic for this week. We'll pick it up again next week. And let's get right into Hagar the Horrible. He really is. I got to say, he's horrible.
He can be very horrible, I think.
The king and the queen are sitting in their castle in their green gowns with their little hats on.
I like that they're matching.
The queen says, all we talk about is how much we loathe Hagar the Horrible. And the king goes, you're right. No more talk of him. Second frame, he goes, how is that good for nothing brother of yours? And the queen goes, getting back to Hagar. Oof, that's dark. If Hagar is molesting everybody,
yeah.
And she'd rather talk about him than her brother-in-law?
What's up with that, queen?
Brother, yeah. Jeez, I knew there was a lot of incest in the royal families, but in a comic strip, do we want to talk about that?
Is her brother an internationally famous rapist?
I don't know. I wonder how long Epstein's Island has been around. Maybe it was in the medieval times.
They're Vikings, man. They were all about islands.
Yep. Leroy is dancing, and Loretta's talking to her friend having coffee and goes, Leroy's feeling good about himself. He understood a reference in a Saturday Night Live skit.
Oh, he's getting old.
Not that funny, but I just thought it was kind of fun that they're keeping it relevant. Is that relevant?
He's getting old. He knew about me. I can't even come up with a reference off the top of my head. I'm like, Leroy.
It's not bad this year. Actually, SNL's pretty good this year.
Okay. Yeah, I've liked some of them. Okay. Dilbert, we're on number six. Again, I don't know if it's counting up or down. We're on our way to 10. Here we go. Three frames. The smack your bitch up hairdo guy comes in, peeks his head in the cubicle, and he goes, let's have a little pre-meeting. Shouldn't that be hyphenated? Let's have a little pre-meeting to prepare for the meeting tomorrow. By the way, it should just end there. That's as funny as Dilbert's are.
Yep.
That's what it is. Oh my God, you coined the phrase pre-meeting. No, you didn't. Second frame, Dilbert turns to him and goes, whoa, do you think it's safe to jump right into the pre-meeting? This is it. I'm just going to stop myself right there.
Yeah.
We called it. That's what this is about. So he goes, jump right into the pre-meeting without planning it. And the smack your bitch up. Now they're all of them in the third frame. They're at a conference table, including that little guy, bald guy with the glasses.
Walter.
You remember his name?
Walter, yeah.
Now the smack your bitch up guy who's running the meeting from the head of the table goes, okay, let's get this preliminary pre-meeting meeting going. And the little guy goes to Dilbert, you think you're funny, but you're not. So there's so many things. First of all, you didn't do pre-meeting or another way that's better than preliminary.
Yep.
And it, I mean,
I think Walter sums it all up. You think you're funny, but you're not. I mean, that's should be the name of the comic strip.
And then even that, why wouldn't you just say you think you're funny and leave it at that?
Yeah.
But you're not, like, we get that, Walter. Yeah. We get that that's what you're saying.
Well.
And then that's like saying, I said that because it's funny.
Mm.
And also, couldn't you do stuff with a preliminary meeting, pre-meeting? Like, think a little.
Yeah.
This is one piece of art, if you want, in italicized, that I can't wait for AI to do. AI will do better than this.
Well, I think it's really, I mean, who is the audience for these comic strips? It's somebody that woke up, it's Sunday morning, you're hungover, you get up, you make pour some cornflakes, you open it, you go first to the comics just to ease into the news. And you're not looking for a chuckle or a guffaw or even a hee-hee. You're just looking for a smile. And I think that's all they're shooting for.
I think it's Susan who, she's the one, she's a lifer. She doesn't identify herself by what she does in her profession. She waters the plants. She goes around, she waters the plants in the office. She probably makes sure, like, there's a cake for someone's birthday in the kitchen.
Everyone
she
signs
loves
a card. Over. Yeah.
Yeah, she brings the card around exactly.
Yeah,
for
yeah,
everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing you know that. You've rarely worked in an office.
And she's had, I've been on plenty of writing staffs where I got to fucking throw in money for,
that's true.
Someone I never met. And then, yeah, all right, let's get to it. Bed, which is always amazing to me because when I see Dagwood in bed with Blondie, when I see her propped up on a pillow with she's got a blue frilly negligee on. And I just think to myself, how could he not be on top of that, sweaty and grunting? He's laying with a laptop in his lap, 6 inches from paradise. And he says, well, I just downloaded the latest mistletoe app. And she goes, really? And then he holds the computer over their heads and they kiss and then they separate. And he goes, what? That has to be the best use of technology I've ever seen. She's like, I second that. I'm like, here's the technology I'd be using. I'd be throwing on an OnlyFans site, watching that while I take you from behind, while I smush that yellow spaghetti hair into the comforter and widen you up. While we interact with a lesbian couple. That's what I would do with the technology.
I love that you're with your ultimate dream girl and you still need an OnlyFans playing.
Well, let's take it over the top. I would record us making love to one another. Let's just leave it at that.
He's moved on. He's like, that has to be the best use of technology I've ever seen. She's like, not even close as she's grinding her crotch with other technology.
There's rabbit ears. There's butt plugs. Yeah. Yeah. She's definitely using the technology. Cutting edge. She's using shit that she got a discount code for on a podcast.
Yeah.
Well, listen, support our sponsors. We love them. And you show that you love us when you go to meetfabric.com/papers. And you're going to get a little discount there. And then you're also going to go to mintmobile.com/papers.
Yeah.
And you're going to pay $15 a month for Mint Mobile when you buy a 3-month subscription. All right. Also want to remind people, I read my dates. I'm going to be in Janesville,
sure,
Wisconsin
did.
In a couple weeks. So go see that. Also, don't forget the T-shirts from the holiday. Holiday's over. Why not get a little post? Maybe you got a gift card. Somebody threw a little cash in your envelope. Get the Take It Eesh or Sunday Papers T-shirt at fitzdogradio@gmail.com. No, fitzdog.com. That's where you're going to go.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
That should have been
clunky.
Cleaner.
That was clunky.
All right, listen, you know what we're going to say to 2024 right now? Take it easy.
Take it easy.
Bye-bye, people. Happy New Year.
It's time for the Sunday Papers. Greg Fitzsimmons. Mike Gibbons. The Front Page. the funnies, and some crap about Florida.
Weight loss. It needs to be fast and sustainable. Noom GLP-1 starts at just $149 and ships to your door in 7 days. Take it from Marcos, who's loving his journey with Noom GLP-1.
I'm getting to where I want to be. I'm in such a good place right now, and I'm very confident that I'm going to be able to continue this weight loss, this journey, and really make a true lifestyle change.
Don't believe it? Take it from Cam, who's gaining more confidence with Noom GLP-1.
I really am starting to feel better. Like, I feel a lot lighter. I feel a lot happier. I feel a lot more confident. I just feel a lot more like myself. I don't feel so bogged down every day.
$149 GLP-1s? Now that's Noom smart. Noom, the smart way to lose weight. Get started with Noom GLP-1 at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. Individual results may vary. Not all customers will medically qualify for prescription medications. Compounded medications are not reviewed by the FDA for safety, efficacy, or quality.
This is a mini meditation guided by Bombas. Repeat after me. I'm comfy. Comfy. I'm cozy. Cozy. I have zero blisters on my toes. Blisters. And that's because I wear Bombas, the softest socks, underwear, and t-shirts that give back. One purchased equals one donated. Now go to bombas.com/adlarge and use code ADLARGE for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com/adlarge and use code ADLARGE at checkout.